Okay, well, we'll try not to muck it up. How many of you are really glad, you know, we've been singing about the love of God. How many of you are glad you've engaged with the love of God? God's engaged with you because of his love. Transforms your life, changes your perspective, changes your destiny. And here's the good news, it's not just for us, as Mark's been praying, it's for this nation in which we live and the nations beyond. And so this morning I want to talk a bit about that and this thought of, you know, that God's brought us into this incredible thing called the family of God, given us this incredible opportunity to be his people, to be his representatives here on earth. And he gives us vision, doesn't he? He gives us sometimes personal vision. Sometimes it's corporate vision. Sometimes, like Mark was saying, a vision for a nation transformed and changed and doing things differently. How many of us believe our nation could do some things differently? And so we've got a part to play in that. And so this morning I want to talk about vision. I want to talk about legacy. And I want to talk about perspective. Vision, legacy, and perspective. And let's just... a little bit of definition first. What is vision? Vision is a picture of a preferred future. Yeah? Because if your vision is no different to where we are today, ain't no vision worth talking about. But if you've got a preferred future in mind, and if it's a God-given preferred future, how wonderful is that? And God calls us on this journey with him to engage with that and to journey that. But have you noticed if it's a God-imparted vision... it's often given preceding preparation. Maybe you know what I mean about that, because sometimes, you know, you get a bit of a thought or a bit of a vision of how things could be, and then you go, wow, this is exciting, this is amazing, this is brilliant. If it could be like that, this would be fantastic. Oh, hang on a minute, where are we now today? We need a bit of preparation before we see the fulfillment of that. Anybody ever sort of recognize that in your thinking? And initially, I sometimes find as well that when it's God-given vision, it often comes before my competency level is really there to take us to that. Yeah? And so there's a bit of work in me, and maybe in you, to take us on that journey that God wants us to in terms of vision. So that's just a little bit thought about vision there. Think about legacy for a moment. What's legacy? Legacy is something handed down to a next generation or received from a previous generation or predecessors, yeah? And it's about imparting things. It's about sharing things with those coming maybe behind us in their terms of age or in terms of their Christian walk. You know, if somebody's not been a Christian very long, what are we imparting to them? What are we encouraging with them? What legacy are we putting into their lives? And, you know, you do not have to be old to think about legacy. If you're a teenager here, and I don't know whether we've got any teenagers in the room, maybe one or two, some of them will be out with kids' stuff, or if you're in your 20s, can I ask you, what are you imparting to the generation coming behind you? What legacy are you depositing with them? If you've been a Christian for a while, what are you passing on to those who are younger in the faith? What example are you giving? And I was to think about vision and legacy and perspective. And perspective is a sort of overview. It's sort of looking at the big picture, and we'll come on to that in a few minutes. But to do this morning, I want to look at the account of David in the Old Testament, King David, and Solomon, his son. So if you've got your Bibles and you want to turn, we're going to look at a couple of passages. We're going to look at one in 1 Kings chapter 2, and then later we'll look at 1 Chronicles 22. And see what we can learn from that sense of God-given vision, which David received. You know, he received this incredible vision to see established a place of worship in Jerusalem to build a temple. And it was going to be magnificent, it was going to be amazing, and it was going to be something totally different to the nation had engaged with before. And yet, he wasn't ultimately the one who was going to deliver the end product. And so we're going to have a look about that and see how that vision and legacy of what he then launched for Solomon, and how that sort of begins to unfold. And could I say today, whatever vision we have in terms of individuals, in terms of church, I often think it's not just about the here and now, and it's not just about in our lifetime. It's about a generation coming forward and a generation emerging. And so there's a bigger picture. We'll talk a bit more about that in a moment. But number one, when I was thinking about this vision and legacy, I thought there's some key things. Number one was that David brought the word of God to the next generation. If we're going to pursue vision for God, we've got to have it rooted in God's word. We've got to have our lives rooted in God's word. If you got to 1 Kings chapter 2, I want to read the first four verses. And it says this, that when the time drew near for David to die, he gave a charge to his son Solomon. I'm about to go the way of all the earth, he said. So be strong, act like a man, in other words, grow up. Well, that's my definition. And observe what the Lord your God requires. Observe what the Lord your God requires. Everybody say, observe what the Lord you requires. Okay? And then he says, look, Solomon, if you're going to pursue this stuff, if you're going to enter into all that God has for you, he says, you've got to walk in obedience to him. You've got to keep his decrees and commands, his laws and his regulations as written in the law of Moses. Do this that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go. How many think that's a great outcome? Prospering in all you do and wherever you go. And then he says this, David says, and the Lord may keep his promise to me, that if your descendants watch how they live, they will walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul. You will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. This is an amazing promise that God gives to David regarding the future generations and the house of Israel. That if God's people will keep their focus on him and on his words, doesn't matter what the Assyrians do, doesn't matter what the Babylonians do, doesn't matter what the Philistines are going to do, there's going to be a permanence to what I want to do in and through the nation to come. God wants to take care of a whole lot of stuff in your life and my life. And he can do that if we can keep our focus on him. What a great privilege. Some of you here today, many of them are out the room at the moment, but some of you here today are engaged in our kids' work, in our youth work, EPIC. Some of you are parents with children still at home. What an incredible privilege to be able to impart something of God's word to our youngsters. And it's an amazing thing. Because if our children and our young people can get rooted in the word of God at a young age, it transforms the outcomes for their lives in the days ahead. And God will do some amazing things. If you're involved in our kids' work and youth work, thank you. You are doing amazing things. Thank you. Verse 10 says that then David rested with his ancestors. He died. And he was buried in the city of David. And he had reigned 40 years in Israel, 7 in Hebron, and 33 in Jerusalem. And then it says, verse 12, so Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his rule was firmly established. His rule was firmly established. That just speaks to me of something significant, something that God has done that's going to have longevity to it. It's going to have influence and impact in the world in which he was living. How many of us want to see that in the kingdom of God? We've just been praying for it. In our nation, something of permanence of God's kingdom, of influence, of power, of authority coming to bear in the spheres and the echelons of power in the nation and starting to change things across all levels, right down to the local level, up to the national level. Thank you. How many of us want to see that? Here in Northeast Lincolnshire, not only today while we're alive, but in the generations to come. So David charged Solomon with living and ruling as king according to the word of the Lord. You know, and let's just not think about our kids and the younger ones. Let's think about, you know, people coming into faith at older age. Some of you have been around the block a while. In terms of your Christian walk, you've got so much to give, so much to bring and encourage younger ones coming through. And hey, to the generations coming up, whether it's younger in the faith or younger in age, let's encourage them to act like men. Grow up into the mature things of God. Observe what the Lord God requires. Walk in obedience to him. Do this so that you may prosper and be established. And God will prosper you wherever you go. Okay, number two, vision and legacy. There's a whole thought that David wanted to resource the next generation. Go to 1 Chronicles 22, and I'll read verses 2 and 4, or 2 to 4. It says, David gave orders to assemble the foreigners residing in Israel, and from among them he appointed stonecutters to prepare dressed stone for the building of the house of God. He provided a large amount of iron to make nails for the doors and the gateways and for the fittings, and more bronze than could be weighed. He also provided more cedar logs than could be counted. David's heart was this: what could I do right here, right now, in my generation that will help the next generation coming through? What can I provide resource that's going to make their job easier to do? Let's not just think about the here and now. Let's think about the generations coming through. Let's think about the church as it emerges. You know, who knows how long the church has on this earth before Jesus comes back. But while we're here, let's not just focus on here and now, but let's focus on the future as well and investing and preparing for the future. You know, what are we doing here, City Church, today that is not only for the here and now, but for the generations to come? It's for the church to come. You know, I have a limited lifespan. I know in one sense I'm going to live forever, you know, but it's not here in this manner. I am going to die, or the Lord's going to say, well, something's going to happen and I'm going to be removed from this scene. Some of you are not so sure. It's going to happen to you as well. What are we providing? What are we doing not only for today, but also for the generations in terms of providing and provision and resourcing for the days? Okay, number three. Some of these are short, some of these are a bit longer. Number three, David envisioned the next generation. Somebody's got to catch something. But there's all sorts of hesitations in that as well. You know, you sense God might be putting a bit of a call on somebody's life. You ever think this and you think, oh, yeah. David had this. Verse 5 of chapter 22 on Chronicles, it says, David said, my son Solomon is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord should be of great magnificence and fame and splendor in the sight of all the nations. Therefore, I'll make preparations for it. So David made extensive preparations before his death. You know, I think David was a little bit nervous about handing things on. I don't know if anybody's ever had to hand some stuff on to some other people. You've been a bit nervous about it. You thought, well, I've been doing this for years. And, well, really, what experience have they got? Well, they'll never get any experience unless they do it, unless they get exposed to some things. And I think David was a little bit nervous. And even after David's death, ultimate death, and Solomon is now made king, even he was a bit nervous about it. You know, and God says to him, Solomon, you know, this is an amazing thing that God says to Solomon. He said, you can have whatever you want. What do you want? And he said, Lord, I'm going to need some wisdom to do this. And God granted him his request. You know, there's some nervousness in the generation coming forward. But if the heart is right, and wholeheartedly following after the Lord, then God takes that and, you know, the innocence and the naivety sometimes, and God does some amazing things. Because this house, to be built for the Lord, David says, has got to be of great magnificence. God wants to do something amazing, David said. But Solomon somehow caught that same vision for the glory of the temple, and indeed built it. When you read the complete story, and we haven't got time to go into it all, he built it to be magnificent, famous, and of great splendor. Solomon had something of that vision that was in David imparted to him, breathed into him. Each one of us here has influence. Each one of us affects the person around about us. Yeah. The people we rub shoulders with, the people in the church, the people in the family, we all have our influence. And I want to just get us to think, just what is my influence? What am I encouraging? What am I envisioning? What am I encouraging for the future generation coming through, whether that's younger in age or younger in faith journey? What am I encouraging? Am I encouraging them with this great vision, this great picture? You know, because sometimes I don't think we've grasped it. Mark picked up on it as he was praying this morning about the church in the nation. And I think, you know, God has chosen this plan to use the church of Jesus Christ to bring to bear his kingdom on the earth in which we live. And when you look at us as a church, and, you know, not just us, but across the church in the UK, you think, whoa, wasn't that a better way, Lord? I mean, just look at some of the people who are leading this stuff. Don't laugh too much. You know, and it's, but yet God, this is the plan. And he wants to create. Isaiah says, look, I want you to be, God says, I want you to be the display of my splendor. Wow. That's you and me. The display of his splendor to this world in which we live. You know, if we can breathe that, and breathe that out to the people we rub shoulders with, those coming through, whether it's younger in age or in faith, then, wow, let's impart some good stuff in terms of vision for God's church in this world in which we live. Amen? Thank you. But David said, you know, I'm a bit nervous about it, so I'm going to make extensive preparations while I'm still here. And he wanted to do everything he could. I believe, you know, what we can do here today should help envision the generations coming through and give them a picture of a preferred future for the church and the nation. Amen. Number four, vision and legacy. David commissioned the next generation. So we read it in 1 Kings chapter 2, but it's also in 1 Chronicles 22. I'll not read the whole bit, but between verse 6 and 19 of 1 Chronicles 22, you read there how David charged, gave him a solemn charge to build the house of the Lord for Israel. This was not a suggestion. This was a charge. This was a solemn charge. This was, I want you to do this. God wants you to do this. And we're appointing you and releasing you. Get on with it. David knew, been revealed to him, having been given this incredible vision for the future, this incredible picture of this temple that would bring incredible honor to God, it became clear that he was not the one to ultimately build it. And there came a point, there came a day where he had to not only acknowledge that, but to speak that out and to say, Solomon, it's over to you. It's over to you. There will come a day where if you've got vision from God and it's bigger than you and your lifetime, there'll come a day where you will have to say, I'm commissioning the next generation. It might not be today, don't panic. But there'll come a day. The church will come to a point where we have to give a charge to the next generation. It might not be today. But God causes people to move on. He takes them out of the scene. Their season comes to a close. And there needs to be appointing the next generation. This thing called church is bigger than any one of us here today. What God wants to do is far bigger. Now, no, don't go away panicking, thinking David's going to jack it all in soon. Oh, some of you look really happy now. number five, David wanted the best for the next generation. If you're a parent, I think you'll understand something of this. You look at your kids and you just want the best for them. You really do. And David said this, he says, verse 11 of 1 Chronicles 22, "Now, my son, the Lord be with you," he says to Solomon. "And may you have success and build the house of the Lord your God as he said you would." May you have success. Son, I want you to have success. Generation coming through, I want you to have success. I want you to have great success. You know, what a great heart. David could justifiably say, my generation has seen some phenomenal things. Awesome things. Defeated Philistines, won battles, nations changed, things in worship starting to be established like never before. But he said, there's coming something more, and I want you to have great success in it. We are not the be-all and end-all of the journey right here today. There's something more. And I want you to have great success. You know, today as the church, we thank God for the blessings of God, what God is able to do and has done through us and with us as individuals and corporately as God's church. But there's more to come. There's more to come. And we want the best for the next generation and the generations to come. So with that heart, you find David beginning to encourage the next generation. And in verse 13, he says, because you're going to need to be encouraged. He says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, but be encouraged." Don't be discouraged. Where courage has been removed, you've been discouraged, but be encouraged. And Solomon, when he thought about it, he could take heart in all that God had said to his father. God had promised David that as long as his sons walked in obedience, we said it right at the beginning, they would keep the throne of Israel. So here's a little key. A number of years ago, many years ago now, we had the privilege of being in a small church in a place called Sandbach in Cheshire. And it was only a very small church. And one day I was visited by a regional guy who was helping oversee a number of churches of which ours was part of that. And he came to me one day and he said, "David," he said, "what do you do when things in the church aren't working out how you hoped or dreamed or imagined?" And I said, "I never have days like that." Then I told him the truth. And I said, "I usually go, oh." But then, after a bit of awe, I usually think, well, what has God said? What has God said? Why are we here doing what we're doing? What has God said? You know, and he said to me, good answer. Because if you can keep rooted in what God has said, that's your foundation, that's affirmation, that's promise and hope for the future. If we can keep that and keep moving forward with regard to that. How many of us know we all need a little bit of encouragement at times? Don't matter how often you've been on the journey. Hey, let's watch that video, guys.
Home, the big kick has started. Aguida looks dangerous to me in third. But Mo Farah gritting his teeth now. The arms have got to pump. The knees have got to come up high. He's got to find something extra. He's got to kick hard. Come on, Mo Farah. Gebre Meskel is coming, but I think he's going to get there. Farah is going to make it. Two gold medals for Great Britain. Beautiful. He rocks. He's the double Olympic champion.
Well, that's how Ant and Dec responded as they commentated there. But look at this.
Come on, in there. Yes!
Go on.
Come on, Mo. Hang on. Yeah!
Well, you may have seen that. That was 2012 Olympics, and that was Mo Farah winning the 5,000 metres. The impartial commentary was wonderful to watch. You got there, Steve Cram, Brendan Foster, Denise Lewis, Colin Jackson, all former champions, interestingly, in their sports and fields. But actually, interestingly, yeah, and they're cheering the next generation on. They just say, look, we've done some stuff. Now it's your turn. Get on with it. Get moving. Go for it. But the interesting thing, when I just looked up the statistics, of those four there, Steve Cram, Brendan Foster, Denise Lewis, Colin Jackson, only one of them was a former Olympic gold medalist. The rest had won bronze and silvers. And that was Denise Lewis in the heptathlon, I think it was. But the others say, Mo, you're going to go further than we did. You're going to do better than we ever did. And we're cheering you on. We want the very best for you. How many have got a heart for that, for the generation in the church coming through? We want you to have a fantastic journey with God. We want to see the favor of God on you. We want to see you doing exploits like we've never dreamed or imagined. We want to raise you to see success. We want to encourage you. Some of you guys here today are champions in fulfilling God's purposes in your day and generation. Are we happy and willing to cheer on the next generation? I'm not writing anybody off today, please, because these guys have still got a job. They're still commentating, they're still pundits, they're still advising, they're still coaching, they're still doing stuff. It's just different to what they did before. But they're cheering on a next generation. There's something about the church, this glorious church, this magnificent church. I've got to keep an eye on the time here. You know, the song encapsulated, doesn't it? We go from glory to glory to glory. We'll never be the same. I think that's on a personal and a corporate level when it comes to the church. Who's up for a church like that? Number seven, there are nine. I'm going to go quick now. David left a great example for the next generation. He says in verse 14, David says, I have taken great pains to provide for the temple of the Lord. When you think about it, David gathered materials for the temple. He began to prepare those materials. He won the peace of the surrounding nations so they could build a temple without worrying about battles. David found and purchased the site for the temple. He established the plans for the temple. And David organized the administration that would be needed for the temple to function. So he did all this stuff, yet no one calls it David's temple. It's known as Solomon's temple. It was the temple of the Lord, yes, but the name on the plaque, Solomon's temple. What a fantastic example to the generations coming through that it's not about us. It's about him. You think about the timeline of Christianity. When the church is birthed, which way are you? I'll do it this way. So the church is birthed over here, and we're journeying through time, 2,000 years or whatever. And we're in this little bit here, but all this has gone on before. And who knows how much further there is to go. When you think about the journey of this church and its history, you can go back to 1920s with one part of what's come together to be City Church. And then you can hit the 1980s and something else is birthed. And then 2009, two come together and create what we now know as City Church. And, you know, we're in this bit here. There's all this bit that's been prepared for us and established and that we're building on today. And we don't want to just root for today. We want to root for today and the future, God willing. You are part of the current generation, the champions of today. Whether you're part of that or whether you're part of an emerging generation, let's not forget we're only part of the story. But let's encourage across the generations. Number eight, let's not restrict the generations, the next generation. Why don't the band come back up? Try and wrap this up. Verse 14, David says, I've taken great pains to provide for the temple of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, a million talents of silver, quantities of bronze, iron, too great to be weighed. And then he says to Solomon, and you may add to them. So in other words, there's been great cost, there's been great sacrifice, there's been a great price paid so far. But let's not limit what God wants to do to what we've been able to do. Now you add to it. Over the years, and again in recent months, there's been some great cost paid and sacrifice, and people have given, and salute every one of you and honor you for that. But we've got to be willing to say to the next generation, take it further. Take it further. Number 9. David directed the next generation towards God. Verse 19 links very much to where we started. Now devote your heart and soul to seeking the Lord your God. Begin to build the sanctuary of the Lord God. You know, David gave this command to seek the Lord in the context of work. Not in the context of leisure, but in the context of work. David recognized that it is possible to keep a heart after the Lord and do stuff. You don't have to lock yourself away in a closet. Sometimes that's time. There's a right time to do that. But there's something about work and keep seeking the Lord. Whether you're part of the current generation or an emerging generation, let's not let work become an idol. But let's get it in the right place. Devote our hearts to seeking the Lord. But yes, let's get on with the work that God's given us to do. Today, whether you're part of this generation that's seen so much, or whether you're part of an emerging generation and you think, wow, I'm only just beginning. Let's not lose sight of what God's called us to. This great vision, this great picture of a church that brings glory and honor to Him. Today, you're part of a great vision for God's glorious church. What legacy are you going to pass on? Am I going to pass on to the generations to come? We've looked at very quickly at 9 things. And ultimately, as Paul Oakley wrote in his song, actually it's all about him, for his glory and his fame. And I want us to pray. And I'm going to pray. And then what I'm going to ask you to do is just to think about, what am I imparting to somebody else? And I'm going to do something really dangerous this morning. I'm going to invite you to go and pray for somebody. I'm going to invite you to go and pray to impart something of what God's done in you, how He's blessed you, how He's envisioned you, how He's encouraged you, how He's brought you to where you are, to go and just pray some blessing over somebody else who's probably a little bit younger maybe in age or younger in the faith. And I recognize, you know, we've got visitors here today. Please feel free to dip in or out of this. But for those of you who recognize that you've been on a journey with God, God's done some amazing things, and the end is not yet, but I just want to impart something of what I've received. I want to encourage you to do that and just have a think about who you might. Just go and ask, would it be okay for me to pray for you? Always ask. Ask, would it be okay for me to pray for you? But also, there may be some here in an emerging generation who say, actually, I'm right at the very beginning of things. But wouldn't it be great if that person would pray for me? Could I encourage you to be a bit bold today in the next few minutes? We're going to move around. There's going to be a bit of chaos. Don't worry about it. Whether you're younger in age or younger in the faith, and you just say, I want something of what that person is carrying. I see this in them, and I just want them to come and bless me and just pray for me and impart something into my life. Today, why don't you just have a little bit of boldness and go and ask somebody to pray for you? Now, it could be you're in both camps where it'd be great to pray for somebody, but it'd also be great to be prayed for. I don't know how this is going to work, if it's going to work, but I just felt to do it. So why don't we stand? I'm going to pray. The band will do whatever the band does. And we're just going to invite God to come and guide us and help us in our prayers for one another. Does that sound okay? Okay, we're going to do it anyway. Father, what an amazing privilege to be part of your kingdom and your church in our day and generation. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done in our lives. And Lord, the privilege that we've had part to play in some of the things you've wanted to do outside of the remit of just our lives, but something bigger in this world in which we live. And Lord, we pray that you would release something in this place this morning that would not be restricted to a generation, but there would be some impartation to a generation emerging, whether that's younger in the faith or younger in age. We want to just be sensitive and acknowledge your spirit at work among us. So help us, we pray, as we go and share together, as we go and encourage one another, as we go and bless one another, in your name, for your kingdom and for your glory and for your fame, we pray. Amen. Amen.